Well, good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Great day to be in God's house. We're excited that you are here this morning, and I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. Are you excited about Christmas? Yeah. And so what that means is for all of you who have been waiting, you are now officially allowed to listen to Christmas music every day. So there you go. There's your permission slip that you have been looking for. Doesn't that feel better? Just don't be playing it during service, I ask of you. I talked last week that we're going to be opening up our side doors for entrance. So you'll notice in the wintertime, we have some, we get banks of snow, and they eat up some of our parking spots. So I just want to communicate to you, there is parking alongside of the fence line over here. There's parking behind the building. We are also allowed to park in the CPC parking area over there, and we'll have those side doors open. So we just want you to know we are doing all that we can to make room for you, and I would love if somebody would come up to me who is a member of the church and say, Pastor, I would love to help you with a parking ministry, because when we have snowfall, the lines get erased, and we got kind of a jigsaw puzzle out there going on this morning. But we would love to have somebody help with parking if available, and especially on Christmas Eve. If you'll hold up the card that you have in your seat, we are super, super excited. We believe that God is going to fill this auditorium twice on Christmas Eve, and the message is going to be about hope. What's so great about Christmas is God has come, and he's given us hope. And some of you have discovered that hope has changed your life, but you know some people in your life who need to hear a hope message. And so I would encourage you to make plans now to revolve maybe your family dinner time and family gathering time to just say, hey, let's just go and hear a message of hope. And we believe we're going to fill up these two Christmas Eve service. Do you realize people are more open to an invite to church at Christmas time and Easter? So I encourage you to take advantage of that. All right, we're going to get into our new sermon series today. I'm really excited about it. And the title of our sermon series is called, What's So Great About Christmas? What's so great about Christmas? You know, people have a lot of views about Christmas, and I ask that question, and some of you are maybe already answering that question in your mind, and like, not gonna lie, sometimes Christmas can be really busy. It can be really stressful. It can be a time of anxiety. It can be a time of pressure, especially when you're trying to buy your wife a gift. Can I just talk to the guys here for a moment? Can I just talk to the men? Ladies, just ignore me right now. Guys, when your wife, your girlfriend, your fiance says, don't worry about it, don't get me anything, they're lying to you. It's a lie. You set yourself up for a lot of pain if you don't get her something. You're welcome. And all the ladies said, yeah, all right, there we go. All right, include everybody here. And with that, sometimes Christmas can bring debt. By the way, this February, I always dedicate to a marriage sermon series. And one of the top issues in marriage is finances. I really feel led to do a sermon series on marriage on the topic of finances. Be ready this February. Christmas can be chaotic. Man, when I grew up, we had this small home and a big family, and that is a recipe for chaos in the kingdom. Sometimes Christmas is a time of conflict. Some of you, Christmas can be a time of loneliness. And some of you maybe feel it's a hopeless situation. So in light, how do you like the way I prepared this sermon series? Like, oh man, Debbie Downer. So the question we ask ourselves, like, really, what is so great about Christmas? What is it about the event, this event? It's crazy to think about that the whole world stops on this day and recognizes what happened in that little town of Bethlehem, in this little manger, this little child that was born, this ordinary couple, Mary and Joseph. What was it? What makes Christmas so great? I think what makes it so great is this single name, the name Emmanuel. Everybody say Emmanuel. I love that name. I love that. Emmanuel. You see, it was an angel that talked to Joseph, the father of Jesus, and prophesied and said, hey, I know this doesn't make a lot of sense, but this is what's going to happen, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Emmanuel. You know what that word means, the word Emmanuel? Back in those days, a name really meant something, and the name Emmanuel means that God is with us. God is with us. Today, I want you to know that in this room, in this place, God is with us. God is with us. He is not far away. He's not up in the sky watching from a distance, looking down, binoculars. I saw that. God is right here. He's right now. God is with us. It's amazing that this prophecy of Emmanuel really was given in the book of Isaiah some 700 years earlier. There was a prophecy about a virgin who would give birth to the Messiah, Jesus. It literally means God is with us and refers to God's physical presence here on earth through Jesus. You see, the name signifies that God became human. God, the Creator, we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but He became human and He dwelled among His people and He came to save us from our sins, to restore our relationship with Him, that we could have life, more eternity. It represents the presence of God in the world through Jesus, now through the Holy Spirit. So I just feel like as I'm preparing this message, we need to just kind of like pause here. And we need to like ask the question, who or what is God? And this could be a year-long sermon series, or if not longer, but I just picked out a few words of who or what God, the Bible tells. Can everybody, you have a Bible, if you hold it up, yeah, even if you're using your phone as a Bible. I didn't make this up. This is what the Bible says about who or what God is. The Bible says that He is sovereign. And by the way, in your sermon notes, I have given you scripture references that you can look up yourself to see what I'm talking about. But He possesses absolute authority and power over all creation. Nothing, no one, no president, no government, no individual, no one has power over God. He is God, and we are not. And we say, yeah, absolutely. Okay, we say that out loud, but sometimes the way we live, we wrestle with that. Let me continue here. He is creator. Genesis 1:1 says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so he created mankind. He created me, and He created you. He is Creator God. He is holy. That means He is morally pure and He is set apart from sin. That's why this whole sin thing that we talk about all the time is so, so, so important. Because He sent His Son so that we, through Him, through Christ, can be made holy. Let me continue here. He is Savior. I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. But Jesus came to be the Savior of the world to save us from the debt of our sin. He not only is He Savior, but He is healer. A big part of Jesus' ministry, you see, time after time, Jesus healing people who just impossible situations. And if He heals back then, He still heals people today. Not only that, He is a redeemer. When we surrender our lives to Him, He makes all things new. The Bible tells us that if any person would be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's what it means to be redeemed. He's not only that, but He's a provider. He provides for all of our needs in the most miraculous ways. And we can give our needs to Him, and He provides. And He is our hope. He is eternal life. He is loving God. And in 1 John 4:8, it says that God is love. He's the definition of love. He didn't just say, I love you, but He came to earth to demonstrate His love for you on a cross. He is, one of my favorites is, Abba, Father. That's the way he wants us to be referred to Him. And some of you here, you do not have a loving relationship with your father. And I know there's maybe father wounds in your heart, but I just want you to know He is the perfect Father, the way that it was supposed to be, the way that it is. We have relationship. He wants to have a father-child relationship with you. Just let that sink in. God, all of these things, the sovereign God, holy, He has come to earth so that He can have a Abba, Father, child relationship with you. He is peace giver. Amen. He has given us this peace that passeth all understanding, etc. Like I said, I could go on and on about what the Bible says about it. So we are talking about God. All of these things and more has come. What's so great about Christmas is this incredible, loving God, holy God, has come down to earth to be with you. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. So what is so great about Christmas? In light of Emmanuel, that God is with us, what is so great about Christmas? Here's just a few thoughts this morning. A few thoughts about this idea. Christmas is great because God came down. You see, God is not about humanity reaching out to God. It's about God reaching down to humanity. It is God reaching out to you. You see, in just practically every religion in the world, there is this striving, there is this effort, there is this thing that you have to do, you have to accomplish. You have these rituals, you have these rules that you have to absolutely follow. You have this moral effort. You have to behave in this certain way. You can't go wrong. And then you just strive for this enlightenment. And it's all of this effort that we can just get close to God. Just maybe He'll accept it and say, you're good enough. But you're not. Come on. And that's the danger of religion. But on that Christmas night, that first Christmas night, God Himself, the God that I just talked about, he climbed down the ladder to meet us, to meet you right where you are, to be with us here today. God is with us. Just look at your neighbor and say, God is with us. God is with us in this place today. Where do I get this idea? Matthew 1:23. Again, the angel is speaking to Joseph in a dream, and he's prophesying about this Messiah child who's coming into the world. And he says this. He says, look, the virgin, talking about Mary here, that she will conceive a child, Jesus, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So it's prophesied. God coming to earth. Joseph, I love this part. Joseph, just an ordinary man, an ordinary person, a carpenter man. to get a dream like that, and it just must have been so overwhelming of a dream, and the temptation to wake up and think maybe that was just a dream. That was just a crazy thing. I had too much hummus the night before. But yet, Joseph chose to stay faithful. And he chose to trust God. And he obeyed what he was told to do, even when he didn't understand. And sometimes our faith journey is like that, right? Sometimes our faith journey, God is calling us to, he gives us a vision, he gives us a download, and he tells us, I want you to do this, and you're like, ah, that doesn't make sense, and it just, I don't want to do that, and like, that's not the way I would have planned it, but we walk in obedience, and we stay faithful, even when we don't understand. That's what you call faith. And the Bible tells us that to live out this faith journey, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, Christmas reminds us that God works in the ordinary. He works in the ordinary. The same God whom we just described came through ordinary means to ordinary people in an ordinary way. Do we have any ordinary people here today? Yeah. We have ordinary plumbers, accountants, ordinary doctors. We have just ordinary people. And God entered the world as a human, flesh and blood, an ordinary way. But he didn't arrive in a palace like he deserves. Think about it. We're talking about God. We can't even fathom God. He deserves so much more, but yet he comes into us through a manger. Not through powerful, but through some simple, willing people like Mary and Joseph. He came to reveal his character, his mission, and his love for all mankind. You know, isn't it crazy how some of the greatest gifts come to us in the simplest of packages? Have you ever received a gift and it was just a simple package? And you're like, oh, what is this? And you open it up like, reminds me in 2015, my daughter needed a car. A car was getting old, and we needed a car, but I was stalling, and I'm like, and I kind of had one in mind. I'm like, if I was to ever buy a car, I'd get one of those, and you know, I'm stalling, I'm hesitating, and you know, and like, so I get this ordinary package, and I open it up, and it's a Packer key ring. I'm like, oh, hey, thank you. This is so sweet. Thank you. This is, all right, go Pack-O. And then, like, you need to look down into the package a little bit more. And I dig around through there, and it is a car key. And I looked at my wife, and I said, what have you done? And she's like, come here. And out in the and our driveway was the car that I had been talking about. And like, truly, in that little package was the most powerful gift I've ever gotten, literally. And it's out in the parking lot right now, still driving my little Ford Focus. Coolest car ever, Buckeye colors all the way. But that Christmas, I opened a plain, ordinary box with ordinary wrapping. And it was a tremendous gift. And what happened on that ordinary night is very similar. That first Christmas night looked plain and ordinary. There was this stable, there was a teenage mother, a carpenter father, but inside that manger was the greatest gift the world has ever known. Here's the reality for all of us. If God can use the ordinary to change the world, he can also use your ordinary life as well. You see, that's what he does. You look throughout your Bible, you see story after story of ordinary people that God says, I choose you to do the extraordinary. I love that. I love that about God. He picks people I would have never chosen. And I believe all around this room, there are some ordinary people that are in this room that if you would just be willing You would be faithful. You would be obedient. God wants to do something extraordinary in your life. When was the last time you ever said, God, I want you to do something extraordinary in me so that you can do something extraordinary through me? Maybe there's some people who are in this room who you have sensed a calling on your life to full-time ministry. I want to encourage you. Some of maybe the thing that's held you back is, well, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't have any giftings. I don't have any. You know what? If God has called you, he's going to provide all that you need. But can I just challenge you to be like Joseph? Will you take that step of faith? Will you take that step of obedience? Will you just see what God has in store for you? You see, Christmas is great because God came down. Number two, Christmas is great because God came near. Not only did God come down to earth in flesh, but he was intentional. Everybody say intentional. He was intentional about drawing close to us. Please, please, if you wake up here, because I'm going to tell you something, and then you can go back to sleep, all right? Always, always remember this. God's greatest desire is to have a personal relationship with you. God's greatest desire is to have a personal. God does not want your religion. Somebody be like, whoa. God doesn't want your religion. He wants your heart. Give him your heart today. Give him your heart. But he was intentional. He came to earth not only to walk among you, but he came to walk with you every day in every way. In John 1, the Apostle John refers to Jesus as the Word. And he says this, so the Word, talking about Jesus, became human. And he made him his home among us. Everybody say among us. Among us. It wasn't out up on the hill and along the lakefront. You know, I want a water view property here. But he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus didn't just stop by for a visit, but he moved into our neighborhood. By making his home among us, God was saying, I'm not distant. I'm not unreachable. I'm not indifferent. I'm here in this messy world. I'm here with you in the challenges that you are facing. I'm even in the mess that you have made. I'm here. So in doing so, he experienced, when he came to earth, and when you read through the Gospels, you see he experienced joy. At another page, he experienced sadness. He experienced hunger. And am I relating to anybody? You got some hungry people here. Disappointment, rejection, sorrow, temptation, loneliness. You see, this God who came down to be among us, he has been there. He's done that. He's been there and done that. I remember, they've been showing us the past few Super Bowls. They've been showing this one commercial. It's kind of just like, it's like, where in the world is this commercial going? It's going through the streets of a drug addict, of a prostitute, of this couple who is fighting, and this child who's crying, and all these other things. And then it ends talking about Jesus, and he says, he gets us. He gets us. He gets our frustrations. He gets us. And I want to assure you, whatever you're going through today, whatever you're facing, whatever challenge, I can go all around this room, all different challenges, all difficulties, he gets it. He gets it. He knows. He gets it. He's been there. He's done that. And Christmas tells us we don't have a God who observes suffering from a distance. We have a God who steps into it. You see, Emmanuel means he's there in your fears, in your worries, in your doubts, in your brokenness, in your pain. He's there. God is with us. Look at your neighbor and tell them one more time, God is with us. God didn't just send an angel a prophet or a message only. He came himself. You know, this time of year, especially in the fall, and I've noticed this in Wisconsin, especially if you travel across the strait, across the state. We go at Thanksgiving to be with Michelle's parents in Minnesota. I'm sure you have seen it. All of the dead deer along the side of the road, you know. And it's just a crazy time of year because it's the rut. And they're just, it's just a terrible thing. And you just, do you realize that in just Wisconsin alone, there are anywhere from 15 to 19,000 deer strikes? How many of you have struck a deer with your car before? How many of you have been struck by a deer with your car? Okay. And it just, I drive along the highway, and you, especially when you drive along the highway and you see this dead deer and this gigantic antlers, and like, man, I would have liked to see him in the woods. That's Bambi's dad out there. And don't you just maybe wish that you could, like, transform into a deer and go into the deer, into the woods, and say, hey, guys, come here. I want to tell you something. Like, you need to look both ways. Okay? And, like, when you see those lights, you just kind of want to back up, man. You just kind of want, you know. And, you know, they got those deer crossing signs. You know, maybe use the deer crossing signs. But you just want to warn them, man. It's like a lot of you guys, man, are wasting away out there. It doesn't have to happen. You see, the only way to maybe truly help the deer is to become a deer. This way we could explain to them the dangers, and they would understand. And this is what God did through Jesus. He entered into our world in a form that we could see and know and understand. Oh, now I get it. Now I get it. This God of the Bible. See, Jesus is God transformed into human form. What does this mean for you and me? That, again, it means that he knows your pain. He's lived there. He's experienced it. He understands your struggles. And when you pray, you're not talking to the walls. You're not talking to somebody who's far away. You're talking with somebody who is there. How do I know? Because I was talking to him on my treadmill this morning. Because God is there. God is with me. We serve a God who has been there, done that. Christmas is great because God came down. Christmas is great because God came near. And number three, Christmas is great because God came for us. You see, Jesus didn't come to merely inspire us, but and to live some kind of moral laws. That's not what it's about. But Jesus, listen to me, you got to catch this. I know this is a catchphrase, but you got to listen to me. Jesus came to save us. He came to save us. You will never, never understand what that means until you understand the gravity of your sin. We all need to admit here. Come on. Can we just, you don't need to raise your hand. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make you walk down front. Maybe it starts with my confession. Okay? So I'll stand before you. I got a sin problem. I do things. I'm kind of like that Paul guy. I do things. I say things, feel things, and just, I know I shouldn't do it. And so do you. It's this sin nature that Paul talks about. But in Luke chapter 2, the angels are talking to the shepherds in the field, and they're proclaiming this great thing that has just happened. The birth of this God child has now come into the world to change everything in the world. Luke 2:10, it says, but the angel reassured him, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Now listen to these next three phrases. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Did you hear the words that describe this God child who's coming to the world? He uses the word Savior. A savior is one who rescues others who can't rescue themselves. I'm going to get back to this point here in a second. A messiah is a deliverer, one who delivers a nation from affliction and oppression, from the sins of the world. And the Lord is a person with power and authority and reigns over other people. Oh, and he's conquered sin and death. So Jesus revealed all of these attributes. Through Jesus, we have Savior, we have the Messiah, we have the Lord. And you see, the manger always points us to the cross. I think sometimes a lot of people are confused about the God that we serve. I think a lot of people, they think of God as one who cannot watch, can't wait to catch us doing something wrong. I saw that. Write that down in my book. Oh boy, you're gonna burn for that one. Seriously, that's funny, but it's true. We've thought of God that way. But Jesus did not come to condemn us. Listen to me. God did not send his son to condemn you. He came to save you. He came to save you. Emmanuel isn't just God with us, but Emmanuel also means God is for us. He came with purpose to save us. How many of you, this is going to date me, okay? So if you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. How many of you have ever seen the show Land of the Lost? Okay? And you have this family here, and they somehow, I don't even know the whole story, how they got transported back to prehistoric days with the dinosaurs And then these lizard people, the Sleestaks, is that what their name? You got the Sleestaks. It's back in the day. Back in the day. But the one episode, one or two, and it happened a couple times, there was always the dinosaurs that were after them. There was always the Sleestaks that were after them. But then there was this thing called quicksand. It just always freaked me out as a kid because they would be running along, running from the dinosaur, and all of a sudden, they're sinking. And you know, you can't climb your way out of quicksand, right? You just keep sinking. The more you throb, the faster you go down, and you're just throbbing. And I just horrified me as a kid. The only way that you can to get yourself out of the quicksand, you need somebody to come and rescue you. Let me say this one more time. You need somebody to come and save you. Why? Because you cannot save yourself, and the harder you try, just the worse it gets. You just need to get that image in your mind of the death of our sin. You see, Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I think about firefighters, okay? I'm a chaplain for the Walsall Fire Department, and I get to go to these training missions, and they go and they kind of catch these houses on fire to some degree, and they practice going into the buildings with all of their equipment on and search and rescue, search and rescue, search and rescue. That is their job. Firefighters, their job is not to like, hey, if you guys are in the building, you might want to get out. The building's on fire. Like, no. They get in there. They get into that house right away. They go in, and they risk everything to bring people out. Jesus didn't save us from a distance. Jesus came to earth, and he stepped right into the burning house of our world to pull us out. You see, Christmas declares in John 3:16, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Christmas is great because God came down. Christmas is great because God came near. Christmas is great because God came for us. And then last of all, Christmas is great because God came to stay with us. He is God who is still with us through his Holy Spirit today. He makes us this promise in Matthew 28, 20. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Did you hear that? I'm with you. I'm with you always. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever, parents, have you ever had a child who was sick and you had to take them to the hospital and they need to stay for a period of time? You ain't leaving. You're not going to drag me out of that room. I'm staying right here. No. You see, that's the love of a parent. It will not leave, no matter what, not leaving. And Christmas means you will not ever walk alone. I'm with you. Jesus said, I'm with you. I am for you. I am here. But my question is, if God came to be with us, I end this message here today just stating that God is with us. He is with us yesterday. He's with us today and forever. So here, wake up one more time. Wake up. The million-dollar question that each and every one of us has to answer, this million-dollar question. You guys ready? God is with us, but the million-dollar question is, are you with God? Are you with Him? Are you with Him? Have you invited Emmanuel into your life? Jesus, have you invited Jesus? Remember what I said before, his greatest desire is to have a relationship with you. Have you given him your heart? Even more, given him your heart, have you? Next level is, have you given him your life? If you're here today and you're like, I want to know about the joy of Christmas. I want to know about the peace of Christmas. I want to know about the hope of Christmas. I want you to know it starts right here when you give your life to Jesus. Paul tells us this, that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's you today. If you're watching online today, if you're looking for this God of Christmas that I'm talking about today, it starts with your invitation. God has not left, but some of us have left him. Today, let's run back to him, wherever you're at. Can we just, if that's you, would you just pray this prayer with me? Just say, God, I need you. I recognize that you came to this earth to be with me. I believe that you are here with me right now. And I'm taking this moment to invite you into my life. I ask that you would forgive me for my sins. I'm choosing today to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.